Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is our text. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is an activity that you do every day. In fact, you are so good at this activity, you can do it while you are chewing gum, talking to someone else, holding their hand, gazing at the stars. You are experts at this activity. You're probably thinking he means breathing, right? No, I mean simply walking. Walking, defined by Webster, is this: to proceed by steps at a pace slower than a run. And the reality is, walking is simply taking one step after another, putting one foot before the other until you finally reach your destination. Our epistle lesson for this morning, Paul begins to talk about the Christian walk. Before our text for the day, Paul wrote these words: I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Allow me to illustrate. Alexander the Great, one of the greatest military generals of all time, who conquered most of the known world at the time, one night during a campaign, he couldn't sleep. So he went out and began to walk amongst the tents of the encampment where his army was at, only to come across the soldier that was dead asleep on guard duty. And in Alexander's army, to be sleeping while you're supposed to be on watch was a serious offense. In fact, it called for immediate and painful death. The military leader, the commander, would take kerosene and pour it over the offender and set them ablaze. Great motivation to keep you from falling asleep. Well, the soldier began to wake up as Alexander the Great approached him, and recognizing who was standing in front of him, he was terrified. And Alexander says, "Do you know what the penalty of falling asleep on guard duty is?" The young soldier says, "Yes, sir," in a quivering voice. Alexander said, "Soldier, what is your name?" The soldier said, "Alexander, sir." Alexander the Great repeated the question, "I ask you, what is your name?" "My name is Alexander, sir," the young soldier replied. For a third time, Alexander, in a booming voice, cried out, "Soldier, what is your name?" And the soldier meekly replied, "My name is Alexander, sir." Alexander the Great then looked this young soldier in the eye and said, "Soldier, either change your name or change your conduct." Each and every one of us carries the name of Christ that has been placed upon us in our baptism. You are a part of the family of God. And Paul says, as Christians, you need to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have received. You are to live as Christians in a pagan world. Let me illustrate. Your behavior and your calling are to be in balance. It's kind of like taking a scale and it has 10 pounds of weight on the one side. If I put 10 pounds on the other, it's perfectly balanced. But if I put 10.5 or 11, it's out of balance. What Paul is saying, that as a Christian, you are to live a life that is completely and utterly balanced. What you say, what you do, and what you think is to be in agreement with who you are as a child of God. The word worthy takes it even a step further. The word worthy comes from the Greek word axios, and it refers to an intrinsic value of something. See, you are supposed to live with this value of who you are in Christ. Now, there's a difference between the actual worth of something and the value that we place upon it. I know when I was growing up, we liked to take baseball cards and we would clip them to the fork or in the back chainstay of the bike, and then we'd go down the road and it would sound like a motorcycle. You have those cards beaten, it was cool. Little did I know that those cards in mint condition today would go a long way for paying the mortgage for a new edition. But no, I destroyed many of them because I never saw the value of what they were. The question is, what value do you and I put upon the salvation that Jesus Christ died to give us? What is that walk in Christ really worth? You see, how you answer that question is going to determine how you view your life in Christ. And better yet, how you live that life out among other people. You see, if salvation has no effect on the way that you live your life, if that title of being in Christ, a Christian, doesn't change the way we live, we give the impression that it really has no value at all. And the reality is, if that's the case, then your life is not measuring up to the standard that God has called you to as His disciple. And what is God's standard for you and me? What does God expect from us? God's Word says you are to be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Now, holy means to be without sin. And so therefore, when God calls you into the family of God, He expects you and I to live a life worthy of the calling we receive, and a life worthy because we are holy in His sight. All of your thoughts, all of your words, and all of your deeds are to be in lockstep with God's will for you. You're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And not just any kind of love. We are called to love one another and our Heavenly Father perfectly. I guess the question right now would be, so how are you doing? How you measure up to who God has called you to be in your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your love for Him, and for your love for your neighbor. As you look in the mirror of God's law, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll be just like the Apostle Paul that says those words, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want to do, but what I hate, that I keep on doing." And then he goes on to say, "Oh, what a wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" The reality, in light of God's law, it seems as if there is no hope at all. We simply can't measure up to who God has called us to be. When my children were going to a parochial school up by Wisner, Nebraska, they began to sing a song at many of their concerts and stuff. The song is in our hymnal now today. It's probably one of my favorite contemporary hymns. It's a hymn called "The Lamb." And the refrain of "The Lamb" is this: "Worthy is the Lamb whose death has made me His own. The Lamb is reigning on His throne." See, the reality is that Jesus Christ is the only one who is worthy. Christ has lived a life worthy of the calling that He has received as the very Son of God. Always sticking to the plan the Father had, even when that plan meant going all the way up to Jerusalem to suffer and die for the sake of all of us who cannot live up to God's standards for who He's called us to be. For all of our imperfections, for all of our shortcomings, for all of our sins, Christ suffered and died on Calvary's cross that we may experience that forgiveness that proceeds from the cross. But yet we still live in a world where Many will look upon you and says, but I thought you were a Christian. By the way you live your life, you give no evidence of it. And Satan loves to come around and says, you know what? See, I told you you're not worthy. You're not worthy of the calling that God has given unto you. Someone once asked an elderly Christian lady, does the devil ever trouble you about your past sins? And she says, yes. The inquirer then asked her what she did when he does. And she replied, oh, I just tell him to go east. What do you do if he comes back? Well, I tell him to go west. And when he comes back from the west, what do you do then? She says, I just keep him going from east to west because God's word says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he has removed our transgressions from us. This morning as you and I gather in this place, we have the joy of receiving the forgiveness that Christ died to give. God wants you to know beyond no uncertain terms of His forgiveness, life, and salvation that is given through faith in Christ. It's reflected not in a one-time, you know what? I love you when you go through the waters of holy baptism, but God just keeps bringing it back around to remind you in the words of holy absolution as a call ordained servant of the word, I forgive you all of your sins, and in the standing by the command of Christ, your sins are taken away. The unworthiness that stands between you and eternal salvation is removed. You are a new creation. In a few moments, as you and I gather at this altar to receive the very flesh and blood of Christ the crucified, it's more than just a remembrance meal. We can get together and remember Jesus and the cross. It is literally the sacrament by which we eat and we live forever. Forgiven and renewed. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.